Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Dripping in excitement, even all these hours later, as we dive into the canyon of pleasure as baseball fans. If you're confused by why we're saying all this stuff, I said I'm tired of the same old adjectives to describe great games. Everybody, epic, classic, got to do better than that. So we came up with Canyon of Pleasure and the Crevasse of Delight. Those are the two things that we have come up with.
It was a carafe of joy.
Flowing into our collective glass.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. That's the type of stuff I'm looking for, man. Where was that 2 hours ago?
I don't know.
I really needed it.
It takes me a while to warm up.
So what a win for the Houston Astros. I mean, I don't think that you can overstate how important this was for them and how much of a blow this is for the Dodgers, especially the way that the Houston Astros play at home. And the fact that the Astros have struggled on the road offensively, they broke out in a big way and did it against this Dodgers bullpen that has been lethal, is something to really give them some momentum heading in to Game 3. Now, the Dodgers, of course, went with Hill in Game 2 and now Darvish in 3. And Darvish is one of those guys that certainly when he's on can be a shutdown type of guy. And that very well may happen in this game. But the Dodgers fully expected the way that this game was going to leave with a 2-0 lead. Because when you've got Kenley Jansen on the mound and you've got a one-run lead, what is going to happen? They're going to win. Because 98 other times in a row, that's exactly what happened. But not last night.
No, not last night. And while it's still a long way to go in this series, you would expect that the Dodgers are reeling, knowing that this is the first time they've tasted defeat after having that lead and going into the final innings and their big horse on the mound, and he can't get it done. So that being said, on the flip side, the Astros now have a ton of confidence because they saw a lot of arms out of that bullpen of the Dodgers, and they were able to withstand and not only just withstand but overcome that bullpen and get a much-coveted victory on the road. Even this thing up. Now you head into a building you haven't lost yet during these postseasons, this postseason, and let's see if they can keep it going as far as the hot bats. Get Marwin Gonzalez going. You got a guy at the bottom of your lineup. He led you in RBIs throughout this season. So top to bottom, you as an opposing pitcher, you've got to deal with some good hitters. And those hitters came alive last night. Springer, who starts everything off the top of that lineup, he got in the fold, 3 of 5, a home run. And then, of course, Altuve and Correa, they go back-to-back there in the later innings. So they have to be smiling ear to ear there in Houston because they now are alive and they've done something on the road. Heretofore they hadn't.
Marwin Gonzalez also hit an 0-2 pitch out against Jansen. It's just like amazing to think about. And then after that, the trading of the home runs is just something that clearly is going to be a huge story this morning as people talk about this game. I mean, in the year of the home run, too. I don't know why people, some people, the baseball traditionalists, don't like the fact there's so many home runs, and they always think that there's something nefarious going on when there are home runs, and, let's search for the reason why. But last night, how could you argue with that? It's haymaker after haymaker. And you, of course, go into extra innings with that, and you have a bat flip of Carlos Correa that I'm watching again right now, where he just throws it way up into the air like a Lulu with her baton. I mean, really amazing stuff. And then Puig, and then he doesn't do his bat flip.
Right. Well, here's the other thing. I say the Astros, they have to be beaming with confidence because they saw so many arms out of that Dodgers bullpen. But how about the Dodgers getting to Verlander, knocking him around for two home runs, and you got Peterson with the first one, of course, and then Bellinger going the opposite way shows you how strong that young man is. So they've got some confidence as well if they see him again. I know it's just two guys, but still, two dingers off him, a guy who hadn't given up anything.
Yeah, I know. It really, really is remarkable. And the Dodger bullpen showing vulnerability does two things, too, mentally for a club. And one is that it gives them a little bit of doubt when there was never any doubt. And they may not take the one game and say, all of a sudden, we stink. But, I mean, when you're just so used to being great for that long, sometimes you get used to that and think you're invincible. Well, they're not. And also, this Astros team, they've come back. I mean, think about in all these series, you know, the comebacks that they've had against great pitchers. You know, whether it was, what was it, game four of the ALDS, where they brought in Sale, and then Sale was cruising, and then they were able to break through against him. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it was Chapman in that one game, yeah, in the ALCS, and now Jansen. I mean, that's an offense that you can never put them away. You can't put them to bed, that's for sure.
No, and you know it's going to be a long evening, and it's not over until it's over when you're talking about this lineup. These guys can hit. There's a reason they led the major leagues in offense, because they are such damn good hitters. It's going to be redundant. You'll hear it the whole series, though, but there's not an easy out, you know, in this lineup. Anyway, we saw Gattis get going with a home run versus the Yankees. You saw McCann come up with big hits versus the Yankees in the ALCS. You may think those are the two weakest parts of that lineup, but anytime they can jump up and bite you.
And I know that Dave Roberts is feeling the heat today and last night after the game because of the way that the bullpen was handled, and people want to go back to Rich Hill being pulled when he was cruising along and only giving up one run and some strikeouts in there, and you're thinking, okay, there's really no reason to go to Kenta Maeda right now. I stand by his decision. This is a guy who the entire year has had that philosophy of, I'm not going to let this guy go through the third time in a lineup. You know, mm-hmm. Unless he's really cruising, yeah, or we've got an off day, or, you know, whatever it is, the reasons why. So we went to Maeda, and you had a bunch of right-handed hitters there in that Astros lineup, so you went righty-righty with that, and it's always worked. So I know that you feel a little bit differently with it, but when you're in that situation, I mean, it's your whole goal is to have Jansen on the mound with a lead, so you can close the game out in the ninth inning. And right. And Dave Roberts gave him the ball, and he had that opportunity, and it didn't work
right
out.
Right, they had the opportunity, but I also think you look at things a little differently once you're in the postseason, and while you have a lot of games left during the regular season and you might want to leave a guy in there, your mindset has to change somewhat because you get a feel for this guy. And, yeah, the numbers are there, and they show you that, you know, in the past – our staff hasn't fared so well a third time through a lineup, but you got other factors when you're in the postseason. You're in the World Series, the biggest stage. You got adrenaline. You got a guy who's had some timely double plays here. You know, I'm putting him back out there. If he gets in trouble early, okay, I can pull him. Then we go to the bullpen. But I think he has a feel for the game. He's pitching well. He's gotten out of trouble multiple times. And I think that he can go. I think I owe it to him at this point, being on this stage and all those things I just alluded to leave him out there and see if he can get through another one unscathed. That's going from feel. Yeah, you got a sample, a large sample of regular season, but this isn't regular season. This is postseason, and I'm not just going to always defer to those numbers.
Yeah, but when it's always worked, there's no reason to go against it, would be my counter to that. And I'm surprised that you, from some of the takes that I've heard from you over the years, would say that you owe it to a guy like Rich Hill to give him more opportunities.
I'm saying you owe it to your pitcher. If you think he has a feel for the ball game and you have a feel for what he's doing out there, and he doesn't look any worse for the wear, and he didn't, I think you defer to the guy. And, you know, if it's a youngster out there, maybe not so much. But you got a guy who's been through it, leave him out there.
Yeah, it's not like the bullpen blew the game, though, leading up to that point with Jansen on the mound. I mean, if he had gone in – and take it Hill out and went to Maeda, and Maeda gave up four runs in that spot, then of course there's more criticism there. But you know, the formula was working. I mean, everything that he's ever wanted to do, it worked. And he would probably do it the same again to be in that same situation. And chances are that if you look at the percentages, that they're going to come out on top in that same situation every single time in the ninth inning with Kenley Jansen on the mound and end a lead. So definitely this, the first game of the World Series, we loved it because it was quick and it was, that's great for us. Like, I'm not going to lie. But it really was sort of like, whatever. It was a little bit ho-hum in the sense, you know, there was definitely the Kershaw storyline and just a game one of the World Series excitement. But last night, I mean, this really became a World Series.
Yeah.
I mean, this really became something. And now everybody, of course, is looking ahead to Friday night and the three games in Houston, and it should be absolutely nuts there.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. It's an incredible atmosphere during the ALDS, of course, the ALCS with the Yankees coming to town, and they showed the fans there in Minute Maid Park watching the festivities last night, and just imagine how loud that joint's going to be once the World Series shows up on their doorstep.
Dave Roberts spoke after the game on the very rare blown save for his great closer, Jansen.
He's been virtually unhittable, and Gonzalez put a good swing on an 0-2 pitch, and it was center cut. And so you tip your hat to him, and again, where Kenley's workload, where he was at, that part of the order, it's a great spot for him, and it just doesn't always go as planned.
And some we mentioned also this game, a couple of things off the field, well, really on the field, but before the game, Vin Scully and his ceremonial first pitch, which wasn't a first pitch, but rather a story, was about as good as it got. So we do have a little bit of this if you missed it last night. We're not going to play the whole thing because it was a little on the long side just for us to replay. But last night I was into I wanted to go on another 10 minutes. I was so into it because I thought it was just great. And seeing him, I mean, he doesn't sound any different at all. I mean, and usually you worry about, this is a little bit of a morbid thought, but you worry about guys like that because it's true. And they're that old. They've done the same thing all the time. When they're not doing it, it's like, you know, things change for them. And it hasn't for Scully. I mean, he looks great. He sounds great. This is a little bit of him prior to the game last night.
You know what I'm thinking right now? Somewhere up in heaven, Duke Snyder, Jackie Robinson, Roy Campanella, and Gil Hodges are laughing their heads off. Look who's throwing out the first ball at the World Series.
All right, yeah, that's pretty cool. I was hoping he would say asses off. He just goes blue.
No,
no, seriously,
more
folks.
Cool than us, dude.
Yeah, no, yeah, I know.
We would have said that.
Yeah, laughing their asses off.
He did say penis to you, though.
He did. No, he did. He did actually say penis to me. That did happen. Go to the podcast if you missed that story. I'm not telling it again. Not twice in a day. Hey, it's good to see Lady Gaga at the game, huh?
Why was that good?
Well, because she's been ill. She's been sick.
Oh, what's wrong with her?
She's got, I believe it's called fibromyalgia.
Oh!
She's got that going on. She's in pain all the time.
Oh, that's not cool.
She canceled all her tour dates.
Really?
She canceled a whole bunch of them, yeah.
Now, wasn't she just at a big concert, a benefit for the hurricane victims?
I think
Houston,
she might have.
Florida and Puerto Rico?
No, I'm not sure. But she looks like she's
everyone's at the game. Joe Buck, he just went off a whole list of guys.
But
Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel and
Larry King behind home plate.
Larry King. And was that Keith Jackson just to his left? I keep thinking that's Keith Jackson.
I don't think it is.
Looks like him from afar.
But it could be.
I'm gonna find out if that's Keith Jackson. Larry King, there were a whole host of others. Peyton Manning was there sitting by the owner of the Astros. There was one other that was prominent.
Carlos Delgado?
Carlos Delgado. Hope all is well, Carlos.
Yeah.
Puerto Rico. Let's see.
You know who wasn't there?
Who?
The Yankees. Because they were at...
You sorry.
No, I'll tell you why I'm bringing this up. Because you know where they were? You know where they were?
Where?
They were at the Nets-Cavs game at Barclays.
Oh, Aaron Judge was, yeah.
Yeah, Aaron Judge and Dellin Betances and somebody else.
CeCe
was there.
Yeah, CeCe, big basketball fan. He's always...
So they had the time to go to the basketball game. So they were there. because they weren't playing. So they had.
Yeah. How many games did the Mets sink?
That doesn't hurt me because I don't care.
Yeah. Thor was there too.
Yeah. Syndergaard was there. Yeah. They caught him on camera just as he was picking his nose, which I thought was beautiful.
Gross. They always caught CeCe just as he was spitting. Can you catch him at a different time? Can you wait till after he spits, please?
What are you talking about, on the mound?
No, when he's in the dugout. Every time they showed a shot of CeCe, he's always.
Guy spits a lot.
I know. They always catch him right in the.
Well, when you spit a lot, it's what's going to happen.
See that? Come on.
Yeah.
Damn it. Yeah. So. Who's the other guy I'm missing? Somebody else they showed last night. Carter? No!
Larry David?
No. Wasn't Larry David. It'll come to me during the break.
Do you remember if it was sports or entertainment? It was an actor.
It was entertainment.
Tom Hanks?
Oh, it was John Legend.
Oh, it was John Legend.
Yeah, entertainment, yeah.
Was Chrissy Teigen, his wife, there?
No, I didn't see her.
Okay. Mm-mm. Got a little kid.
Yeah, they do. A little legend.
A little
first legend.
First legend is right.
Yes.
All right. Now, we've got an entire cast of a TV show.
How the hell are they all going to fit in here?
I don't know. I'm a little bit worried. I got to tell you, I got some anxiety about this.
Really?
Well, yeah. Because it's a tough to have that many guys in the studio interviewing, and then there's you involved. And
what does that have to do with?
Well, I mean,
involved, like,
yeah, it just makes it harder, you know. Because it'd be easier to direct traffic, you know, but then I can't, you know. So it's tough. So I'm asking you to leave. So
okay, tell me twice.
We need the microphone is what I'm trying to get
Yes!
at.
Yes! I'm going to sit this one out, folks.
No, please don't.
Y'all have a blast.
Please don't. I need your help.
Okay.
Yeah, we have David Koechner.
Koechner and Rail Battle.
Rail Battle.
And Jobani.
No.
Maz Jobani?
Yeah, Maz Jobrani.
I like that. That's a cool. Is Jobrani?
Jobrani.
Jobrani.
Yep.
Okay. Maz Jobrani. Give me one of them Jobranis, dog.
And Jermaine Fowler.
Jermaine Fowler.
Who was the big star of the show, Superior Donuts.
And they better have donuts.
David Koechner.
So I'm making sure. So David Koechner is the guy. I know him from Anchorman. Everybody knows his face from the movie Anchorman. Right, but like his last name is spelled Koechner. So it could be Koechner, could be Koechner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just double checking this morning to get it right. So like I make sure I don't go to one source. I go to multiple sources. Right. So I go to a couple of interviews and they're like, here's David Koechner, and he's standing there, so I'm feeling good about that. But then I go to this pronunciation thing. It says David, you know, Koechner pronunciation. So I click on it to hear what they say, and this is what I got.
David Koechner.
What'd you call? Cross the ocean, man? Get the prostate.
I don't understand.
What is that?
I know. I got to play that for him. David Koechner.
David Koechner.
Why not Koechner?
I don't know.
David Koechner.
Yeah.
No? I'd go with Koechner.
Right. I feel like that.
Koechner.
I feel like I've talked to that guy several times when I'm trying to.
David Koechner.
Yeah, but fix my cell phone.
I'm with you. Yeah.
All David Koechner.
Huh? What did you say? I'm not understanding you, dude.
Koechner.
What?
Nar.
He's just purring. How do you pronounce it? All right. Coming up next, while you don't take a sip of coffee after eating a habanero pepper, we'll explain on Gio and Jones.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
We got this thing in the mail from OtterBox, which is the cell phone case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are controlling it.
Well, I took it because you get everything else. So so it was a little otter, stuffed animal otter in there. So I grabbed it. I was going to give it to the dogs. They like playing with stuff like this, and I don't have the heart to. It's too cute.
Let me see the face.
It's got a little vest on. No, don't get near it because you're
going
to rip
it. I'm not. I don't. Why would I rip it?
Because you're a mean, nasty man. Like shaming Lulu. And see, look, it's too cute. It's got a little vest and everything. So.
Yeah.
So, Brian, you know, I bring it out during the show, put it here next to me, and Brian goes, what's with you and that thing? And
Otter.
And I was joking. I said, well, it's the only thing that loves me. And Brian goes, well, that's your fault. Like, he gave me, like, a serious answer back.
It is your fault. No, it's
still going. I wasn't being serious.
I know you're not being serious. I am. It is your fault.
Oh, it is being serious. Yeah. All right, yeah.
I know you're not being serious, dude.
All right. Come on.
All right.
Duh.
Duh.
Psych.
Right.
Psych. Yeah.
Are you capable of love, Brian?
No.
Didn't think
those
so.
Those days are over.
I mean, in any way, shape, or form?
Overrated.
I mean, in any way, shape, or form.
Like, love Hoya.
You do. Your dog.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So something that can't talk back to you.
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect.
Oh, they all are. Dogs. Brunch.
Prosecco.
Prosecco.
That's right.
Football. None of these things actually talk back.
Don't talk back.
Don't ask for money. Well, the dog kind of asks for money.
Well, don't mind giving it right, to the
exactly.
dog. Yeah. Gotta feed the right. dog, so yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Boy, you...
See, we could only have one of these two things.
Boy, something about you, man.
For the rest of your life. This is your choice.
Okay.
Right? Hoya or the Wiggle?
Hoya.
You sure about this?
I'm positive.
You're going. You can't close. Go to the Wiggle. You can't have both.
I don't need that.
You don't need the Wiggle.
No.
Okay. You like the Wiggle.
So every now and then.
All right. That's good. I'm glad you made that choice. I'm proud of you, man. It's progress.
It's not progress. It's an easy answer.
No, no. It's progress for you.
Yeah, like I live there.
Every third Sunday you do.
Once a month.
Once a month is frequent for establishments Mm-mm. like that.
This time of year, zero times a month.
Right, so you make up for it.
Yeah.
In the off season. There's nothing. Nothing. We're not yeah. judging you. We're just... So
the yearly average is once a month.
But you take out all the football season. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time he come in, and then we ended up at the Wiggle.
It's not my fault most of the time.
You know?
Yeah.
I got a feeling Sunday, Better Man Show.
Yes.
Somehow ends up at the Wiggle.
No. No, I have to work the next day.
Man. You and Mikey B, your other buddies.
I'm telling you.
No.
I've got info on this 7th. By the way.
Oh, do
oh really?
Yeah, I texted the play-by-play guy there.
Seventh Woods at UNC.
Yeah, he just responded to me.
What'd he say?
He wrote, "Hi, Mike. I don't know the name of seventh siblings." Oof, tongue twister. "But I don't think they are numerical. The story I have always heard was that he was the seventh member of their family. So youngest of five kids plus the parents. And that was the source of his name."
Wait, youngest of five? Youngest of...
Welcome to today's right. Mensa meeting, brought to you by...
Exactly. This is the
youngest of five
audio
kids.
Rubik's Cube here for
youngest
for
of seven.
B.
Seven kids, man.
The Tar Heel site said one of six. The play-by-play guy saying one of five. So five plus the two parents makes the seven. And they called him seventh because he's the seventh member of the family.
Oh, okay.
Want to try the beginning of that text one more time?
I was waiting for you to ask. "Hi, Mike. I don't know the name of seventh sibling, but I think that's numerical." Did you get it?
Yeah, I got it that time. It was much more clear.
Yeah, I thought so.
Let me burst in with that one, too.
Like, I was excited to get a response.
Yeah, cool.
We hadn't talked about that in hours. There was.
That doesn't stop us on this show.
Even Brian is like, he's resetting the story. A man who normally doesn't care about any of those machinations during the show is like, Seventh Woods, a man we were speaking about earlier on the show, UNC, point guard. Now I'll proceed.
Yeah.
All right.
Slurricane.
Did you just call him Slurricane? You just come up with that or no?
It's an old song.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say, you just came up with that nickname for him.
It was appropriate.
On the spot.
What song?
Slurricane. Because you start slurring after you partake of certain beverages and party favors. Yeah.
My okay.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Slurricane.
A lot of stuff you guys miss living out in the burbs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is.
Jail's one of them. All right, Bogus has an update for us.
Oh, great. I get to talk now.
Yep, go ahead.
All right, 28 straight scoreless innings from the Dodger bullpen. Then Carlos Correa's RBI single in the eighth. Then this from Marwin Gonzalez leading off the ninth.
Here's the 0-2. And Marwin lifts this one pretty deep to left center field. Taylor on his horse going back at the wall. That's gone! That's gone! Marwin has tied it at 3!
Robert Ford on Astros Radio. Houston kept going in the 10th with Jose Altuve going yard. Then Steve Sparks wanted more on Astros Radio.
About back-to-back here.
And Correa obliged, a 5-3 lead on the Dodgers after their two solo homers. But the Astro bullpen couldn't hold that edge, so George Springer had to club a two-run homer in the 11th. Houston finally won Game 2 of the World Series, 7-6 in 11 in L.A. to even the series at 1. The teams combined for 5 extra-inning home runs, something never done before in the playoffs or regular season. They hit 8 total, the most ever in a World Series game. A great game, especially if you won it like Springer did.
Emotional high to emotional low to high to low to high again. It's but that's why we play the game, and you know, that's the craziest game I can honestly say I've ever played in, and it's only game 2.
Game 3 tomorrow night in Houston. Yu Darvish and Lance McCullers Jr., your probable starters. These are the Suns Mikey B was talking about. 2 straight wins after firing head coach Earl Watson. 97-88 over the Jazz last night. Baby-faced assassin Devin Booker.
We're just playing together, and that's on both ends. I said it right after we made the coaching change that this should be eye-opening for us, and I love the way we responded.
17 points for Booker, 4 and 6 boards for
Josh Jackson.
The Warriors topped the Raptors 117-112. The Lakers got by the Wizards 102-99 in overtime. Eric Bledsoe's buzzer beating 3 got Houston a 105-104 W in Philly. Denver fell in Charlotte 110-93. And the Nets surprised the Cavs 112-107. A career high 22 points for Spencer.
Oh, Dimwitty.
Close enough. The injury-riddled Pelicans reportedly signing Josh Smith. He last played for the Rockets and Clippers in the 2015-16 season. Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll says the newly signed Dwight Freeney should play Sunday against Houston. It's the Dolphins and Ravens in Baltimore. Thursday Night Football, 8 Eastern on CBS. And finally, hockey. Columbus beat Buffalo 5-1. The Blues beat the Flames 5-2. St. Louis has won 3 of 4.
How about Dwight Freeney and the little life he's carved out for himself as a pass rusher? A hired gun, if you will.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yep.
Coming up next, we're going to be joined by 4 members of Superior Donuts on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
Why are 4 guys coming in? Because 4 guys are doing a comedy tour to promote the show and entertain you.
Can we get 4 girls next week?
We can work on that.
Cool.
So, David Koechner, Jermaine Fowler.
We think Koechner.
Maz Jobrani, mm-hmm, and Rel Battle will be in here. It's going to be a lot of people in the same studio. And we will be adding 2 black people to the studio, Brian.
Sweet!
So this is
Let me guess. Koechner?
No.
And let's see. Fowler.
Fowler is one, yes.
Oh, okay. Fowler. But not Koechner?
Not Koechner.
Jobrani?
No.
You not a brother?
Rel.
Rel. What's up, Rel?
Yeah.
Probably used to be Marrel. What's up, Marrel? No, you're going to call him Rayo.
Yeah, so they'll be joining us next.
David Koechner.
It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Superior Donuts comedy tour time, as these guys are going to be setting off with five cities in just a short amount of time. And Superior Donuts will premiere Monday, October 30th at a new time, 9 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on CBS. So who's here? Jermaine Fowler.
What's up?
David Koechner. Maz Jobrani.
Hey.
And Rel Battle,
yes,
in
sir,
studio with us. Whose idea was this to do this? Because this is like a lot of work in a short amount of time, and you got the premiere coming up. I mean, it seems like it's like a lot.
It looked good on the calendar. Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
We didn't know he was doing this much press.
So that's the closest you got to, and you're like, wait a minute.
We thought we were just doing shows.
Yeah.
get up at 7 p.m. at night.
Yeah, exactly.
Walk over to the club.
This part's not in my contract, to be honest with you.
That's the problem with comedy, man, is that you got to promote it. Like, you know, that's why, you know, unless if we could ask Chappelle to the tour, then he could just announce it and sell it out.
Right. Right.
Yep. But because he has not agreed yet, therefore we have to do press. And comedians are not mourning people, as
no.
you know.
No, right. I was going to say. So New York here tonight, Caroline's, 9:30 p.m. Eastern show. Yeah. Tomorrow, Philly.
Yeah.
D.C. after that.
Yeah.
Chicago 2 days later.
Yeah.
And then L.A. on at the Laugh Factory on November
2nd.
Right. All right. So that's jam-packed. And something I've always noticed about guys who are acting on shows is that are comedians, that you always end up going back because it's like your first love. Yeah. At least that's what I hear a lot. Do you share the same sentiments?
Yeah. Stand-up was the reason why I got this job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I got to go back to it. I love it, man. I started stand-up when I was 17 years old, and I never looked back, man. It's amazing. You know?
And it's the only thing you can kind of control. Everything else is auditions, and people decide. You got the look or whatever in L.A., but stand-up is like it's your vessel. You can do whatever you want with it. You can, you know, you can make it as big as you want to make it, depending on how hard you work. And nobody can really control it but you.
David?
Yeah, it's nice that we had four stand-ups on our show, which is unique. I know that Undateable had four or five stand-ups, and they did a tour.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started doing shows in town in Los Angeles under the Superior Donuts banner. And so CBS caught on to that and said, well, why don't we put you boys out on the road? And so, yeah, it's a great promotional tour, and we're going to have fun doing it.
You guys having fun sharing that mic over there? Because you're fairly close. You're like some backup singers. I hope you had time to brush your teeth this morning.
What was that documentary, 50 Feet? We're sharing a room.
We had Judd Hirsch in here when the show first premiered.
Oh,
and
cool.
And it was like, it was TV royalty, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, because, even for someone, I mean, I'm 35, but I still know his history on TV through reruns. When you guys are, and you, Jermaine, you've been a big part of everything in producing and the whole deal, but when you know that you're working with a guy who's had that much success in TV, is there a little bit of you, even with the success that you've had, that's intimidated by that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'm serious. Yeah, the first time I met Judd, I was a little nervous, man. I know, because I know what he'd be like, but he's a really down-to-earth dude. He's got stories like no one else, you know? He still remembers the time, he first saw the Yankees play in the Bronx, and, you know, he was upset when the Dodgers won. I lost because, the Astros beat the Yankees because he wanted the Dodgers to play against the Yankees in the World Series because he grew up with the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah.
And the Yankees.
The shame, man. He's working hard. He's killing it all the time. He's got all these lines. And the other day, I don't know if you guys heard about this, but, you know, SEAL Team, that new show is next to us. And sometimes they block the way to our parking, and you got to go all the way around because they're shooting something. And supposedly, he pulled up, and they were like, you got to go around. And he goes, I'm Judd Hirsch. And they moved, and they let him through.
I think,
as they should.
As he probably added a curse word after that. Moz kept it clean for radio.
But, oh, man. Played big dog.
And he dropped the mic.
We also have Katie Seagal, too, and that's TV royalty as well.
Yeah.
We're pretty stacked.
Right.
We're pretty stacked.
You mentioned that energy, and that energy you get when you're doing your stand-up. Now, how do you keep that energy flowing when you're now on a television set and there's start, there's stop, and all that, factors?
We tape our show in front of a live audience.
Okay.
So that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, they feed you.
And you know what's been cool, actually? I think you guys will probably agree. Like, we've had, especially this season, I feel like we're really starting to, some of the episodes you'll see, it's really catching on, and we really are I was reading some scripts. I was laughing just reading the scripts, which is always a good sign.
We're hitting
but one of the things we did, we hit our stride, and one of the things we did was we've been able to, the directors have let us rehearse it like it's a play. And that feels cool, man. I feel like we're doing a play. We're putting out a play every week.
And the energy kind of stays, I mean, believe it or not, we all get along, which...
Not for now. Yeah.
Right now.
Right. It always falls apart.
He making how much?
It's only season two. Who knows?
Yeah.
I just got this money, so we'll see what it picks up.
There won't be a tour next year.
Yeah.
There will be, but it'll be solo.
Yeah.
But we get along. Yeah, so yeah, we get along.
So you're rehearsing now. You of course you hold some things back, right, during that rehearsal. You don't want to put all your good stuff
out.
Oh, yeah,
Dave does, Maz does, we all do.
If we could tape our rehearsals.
Right.
The show's good, but our rehearsals, that's a whole other level of stuff, but you can't do it all.
That's what we always say about our breaks. Well, the material is much better.
You can't. I mean, it's all in the CBS family. You can't curse.
Exactly.
It's a lot different.
Damn it!
So, I figured you guys would get a kick out of this, because in the prep for you guys coming in, I'm like a pronunciation freak. Like, I got to make sure I get everything right. We just had a Navy head football coach on. His name is Ken Niumatalolo, and like that's like kept me up for a week, right?
Yeah.
So, David... We all know your face. Everybody knows your face. Right. But I'm like, is it Kechner? Is it Ketchner? I got to make sure.
Koltner.
The problem is, I mispronounce it. My family, I grew up in a small town in Missouri with a bunch of German families.
Yeah.
There's probably 15 German families in this small town. But they say Kechner. Nowhere in the English language does the O-E make the short E sound.
Right.
But my family said Kechner. So when I got into show business, I didn't feel like... I got 36 first cousins on my dad's side.
Jesus.
And I didn't decide... I was like, I can't go, hey, by the way, you're all saying it wrong.
Right. How do they say it?
It should be Kirshner.
Kirshner.
Oh, you
sound like a douche, though, when you say that.
Change it to
K-E-C-K-N-E-R. Right.
Then they think you're a soccer, like a European soccer player. It's David Kirshner.
So I go and I'm going through old interviews of yours to see how people are introducing you. If you don't mind, put on the headphones, because we're going to hear some audio here. This one right next. Yeah, either one.
Take his earwax. You guys are buddies.
Yeah, I end up Googling, your name and then pronunciation. And the first video that pops up is this.
David Koechner.
I'm not kidding.
What is that?
I don't know.
That's outsourced to India.
Wow. One more time, Pete, please.
David Koechner.
Now you're Koechner.
So if you ever Google your name and the pronunciation after, that's the first video that pops up. You might want to look into that.
There's a W in there somewhere.
Koechner. First, reboot the computer first.
Koechner.
Sounds like you were getting tech support. They got to record it.
We're always talking about sports. You have to have a short memory, especially if you're a cornerback and you get burned, or a pitcher and someone hits a home run on you. You guys, when you're doing your stand-up, and okay, it's not going so well. How do you deal with that? How quickly can, after your set is done, how quickly are you able to remove that from the memory?
I don't know what that's like. No.
Yeah, yeah. Say, yeah.
No, you know what? You know what?
I can remind you.
I know. If I'm going down, everybody's going down. The whole ship is coming down. I'm taking everybody with me.
So you take it out on the audience.
I'm playing. No, you hurry up and you wait till that light comes, you leave. You get out of there. Well, for me anyway.
I still remember my worst set. I remember all my bad sets. I don't remember any good sets, actually. Yeah. All my worst sets are just ingrained in my head, you know what I mean? Like, the worst set I had was at Firehouse Grill in Virginia, and that was a night I wanted to quit comedy, actually. I was like 18 years old. I did so bad. The host gets on stage and tells the audience, hey, y'all, comedy ain't easy, you know? And I was like, man, you suck. And I just... almost quit that name. Horrific.
You gotta barrel through. You're right. I remember the bad ones too. You remember a lot of the bad ones, and I did a high end event one time, but they were all like 60 years and older. Like, they were older crowd, and I got out there and I was like, oh man, this is not my crowd. So anything I was doing, crowd work just wasn't working. And at one point, I remember I was like, all right, let me go to some bald jokes. Because none of them had young kids. None of them had anybody, like didn't know about immigrants. It was like older white dudes. It was a bunch of old rich white dudes. So I was like, all right, I see a bald guy. Let me go to the bald jokes because I'm bald. I swear to God, I was like, hey, hair, this, that, whatever. And then I looked closer. I was like, I think he might have cancer.
Oh!
Yeah, so I was like, oh, no. So I just moved on. I finished the set and went and got some tequila. That was it.
All you gotta do.
They weren't up on day day.
They weren't up on none of that, man. They weren't up on none of that. The check cleared. It was great. It was nice. You know?
You took the money.
I took the money, man. It was a nice hotel. It was a good tequila, $100 tequila, man.
You don't go down to the bar because they might see you. Yeah.
Speaking of taking, man, we gotta take some of these donuts. Can you believe this?
I know it's unbelievable.
These are
gifts.
Huge.
We don't get a lot of that. We don't get a lot of gifts here.
So Dave, you had any?
Dave
bad
got
ones?
One. Dave, yeah.
What the? I did a college once, and I thought the set went pretty well. You know, there wasn't a bathroom behind stage, so I had to go to the bathroom, you know, that the audience was using. And I'm there at the urinal, and I hear a guy, and it was parents' weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And I hear a guy talking to his son. He said, I thought it would have been better.
Oh, rough.
So I said, me too.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Jermaine Fowler, David Koechner, and Rel Battle in studio with us. I'm always fascinated with the process of comedians and where your best stuff comes from, because I think everybody's different in the sense of like a Louis C.K. is coming from like a darker place and like a more depressed place, and then there's other guys that it's coming from like a happier place and world observations, and they're positive. You know, for you guys and whoever wants to start, where does your best stuff come from? Does it come more from your positive or negative experiences in your life?
Good.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, yeah, usually it's negative experiences that you've sort of turned around to make positive, you know? I grew up in a family that was very tumultuous, you know, and my parents always fought and didn't really get along. And you take those experiences and you make yourself, you know, laugh about them. You know, that's just what comedy is, you know? Sometimes it'll start off positive, but, you know, it's your job to sort of make it hilarious for the people listening and for yourself.
Yeah.
I have 5 kids. That's my whole act.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even think at all. And you know, you try it, although you might make fun of it like it's a negative. I will say, one time I did a show and I was just doing a short set, and a gal came up to me after and said, "I don't think I want to have kids now." So I was trying to be mindful that you have to add something, you know, positive in there. But yeah, majority of my stuff is just what's happening in my emotional life, and it happens to be filled with children right now. So that's my stuff.
Go ahead, bro.
I have a very stereotypical like family. Same thing. Like, I mean, from the city, half from the city, half from the country, ghetto. some art. We have teachers, and then we have drug dealers. My father owned a barbershop. You know, everything you could think of, divorced parents, everything you could think of for a comedian just was kind of in that gumbo. So it's just like, it's really easy to kind of pick from, I think.
I think a lot of the stuff you got to bring from what Jermaine was saying about, you know, it's a way to complain about your life, mm-hmm. about the world. So for me right now, like Trump has, I can't stop doing material about the guy because I'm an Iranian American. And so every time he gets a new travel ban, I'm like, I got to talk about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, and it keeps, I actually do a bit now where I go, you know how hard it is for comedians to keep up with Trump? Because we need time to develop our material. And he says so much crazy stuff.
It's old.
It's old already, right?
All right, well, guys, we wish you could keep you here all day, but you're busy and you don't want to be here.
You don't want to keep us here, man?
We can't. The show ends.
Yeah, it's over. You came too late.
So watch Superior Donuts on CBS.
Eat some Superior Donuts.
And it's at a new time, 9 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. And also, they're going to be in New York, Philly, Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. Chicago, and L.A. starting tonight. And there's got to be a website you could check this out on. But
they come to Caroline's tonight. The Superior Billy. Donuts. Just look up Superior Donuts Comedy Tour.
Thanks, guys.
We appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.